This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
I'm Stanley Sugarman. I'm a scout for the 76ers. We come to Philly, your whole world's going to change overnight.
I got to work. My mom and my daughter, they mean everything to me.
Salary's $900,000.
He will call in sick.
Let's get to work.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. We have got a pretty Netflix-heavy week for you, just warning, because we've had some pretty big cinema releases. We're kind of in between that at the moment. So we're going to be talking about two Netflix films, starting off with one that's been getting a lot of buzz. It is Adam Sandler in Hustle.
So if you're not a fan of Adam Sandler and you're not a fan of sports dramas and you're not a fan of basketball, it doesn't matter. I still think you should watch this anyway. And I think that's the most resounding endorsement I can give for this film. I enjoy Adam Sandler, and off late, especially with Uncut Gems, I feel like he's gotten to depths that you didn't think were possible. I also love sports films, even though I'm not a sports person at all. But there's something about this movie, man. Like, I enjoyed it so much. It's like it does everything it intends to do in the best possible way.
So this movie made me feel bad for Ben Affleck. Because Ben Affleck tried to do the same thing a couple of years ago. I think the movie came out on HBO or HBO Max, not mistaken. And it was called The Way Back. Same story, like aging coach, you know, who's into a sport and who tries to pick up a team or a prodigy and train them to get to either like the finals or the NBA or the big leagues. No one cared about that movie, but Adam Sandler does like a serious role and everyone's talking about Hustle. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a good thing, because Adam Sandler does so well in this, but it just made me feel bad for scorned Ben Affleck, who was trying to do something important at that point in time.
You know, I feel about The Way Back the way I still feel about it. Like, I my position hasn't changed, oddly enough. I'm not sure why. And I think, I don't know whether it has to do with the expectation that we have of Adam Sandler as an actor, or just purely how endorphin candy filled this movie is, or how it feels, because it does a lot of things right. I mean, when it's shooting the sport sequences, there's a dynamism, there's an energy, you really feel it. You really feel kind of this raw enthusiasm for the sport of basketball, which frankly I don't have a lot of attachment to. The peaks and valleys of this journey of this guy who's, well, it's two stories, right? Because on the one hand, you've got Adam Sandler's scout wanting to be a coach, who's put in the position of sifting through garbage, basically, to try and find a diamond in the rough. And then you've got the diamond in the rough story in the form of Juancho Hernan Gomez, who plays a sort of talented but very, very raw Spanish player who he's trying to bring to the NBA. And I feel like when the story needed to get intimate and personal, it was. When it needed to be high energy and very kinetic in the sport sequences, it was. It was just the right length. Great movie. I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
So I think it's like this movie is very aware that it's coming out at a time when everyone understands the sports drama, right? Like, you know the highs that it's supposed to do. You understand the arcs, and you kind of also understand that there's the whole like discovered and then goes through the training and then attempts it. It doesn't work. And then they try again and then yay, success. So it knows that that's not going to surprise us. So in a weird way, it actually takes those things. A lot of those arcs are actually kind of downplayed in a very particular way. And I think Adam Sandler's humor, the kind of dad jokes vibe that he brings to this, also helps in turning it into something a little bit more self-aware. I was actually really impressed at how clever the movie was in giving us something we 100% know what it is, and yet making it still such a great journey for us. There was just a great vibe to the film. There was a great heart to it that I enjoyed. Even though I knew exactly what was going to happen, I still kind of really wanted to be told what happens.
So I felt the exact same way when watching it. Not even at the end of the movie, like halfway through, I was thinking about the exact same things. I'm like, whoa, this movie is making use of the non-surprise. Like, it's actually using the no-surprise element as its major weapon to hook us, to get us, right? Because we've seen this story done a dozen times. Like, there's nothing new at all. We've seen it happen in a bunch of good movies. We've seen it happen in a bunch of bad movies. And it's like, it's always done the same way, right? So I don't know what it is. I think it's because they cast some really good people. Adam Sandler is very likable, no matter what he's doing, unless he's being inherently annoying for the sake of being annoying. And everyone else, like Bo Cruz, you can root for him like almost immediately. All the side characters that you see, and you even immediately hate Ben Foster, like the moment you see him.
So much.
So I think it's that effectiveness, like getting the right cast together, right, that makes this movie special. Because otherwise, if you're looking for anything new, this has like 0% of anything fresh in it.
So I think it knows when to play the nostalgia and familiarity cards, you know, when it needs to cash in those kinds of chips that, like, yeah, this is a sports movie. These are the beats that you should know to expect. Here we go. I mean, they literally have a Rocky montage that they call.
Yes, that they call a Rocky montage.
You know,
and it's in Philadelphia.
Exactly. And so you know it's there, you know, and it cashes it in the correct way, in a way that most people who will be familiar with the beats of a sports movie will appreciate. And then there's stuff that's fresh, or maybe not fresh in the context of Ben Affleck's career, but I'm sorry, I don't know how he suddenly become like a focal point. But I was thinking about Adam Sandler's Stanley Sugarman, right? And how he as a character could, in a different story, be an addict. He could be bitter. He could be cynical. He could be, you know, all those things, because at this point, he's a 50-something-year-old man. And he himself calls it out, who is not where he wants to be in the sporting career that he aspires to, right? And who is like stuck getting flung to Beijing and Berlin and, you know, all that, and far away from his family. But who he is a human. He's like just a very sweet dad who loves basketball and who still has this sincere appreciation for the game and for his team and for his players. And I think that that kind of likability, because we keep saying likable, but the truth is that in the hands of another screenwriter, director, actor, I don't think necessarily that the Adam Sandler character would have been written as likable. He might have been like the Don Draper of basketball.
So again, that's a self-awareness thing as well, right? Like, it's an awareness of exactly what Adam Sandler is known for, which is the loser with a heart of gold trope, right? And they actually lean into that. He's that dialed down in this film. And it's fine. It actually works so well within the context of what is essentially quite a tragic backstory. But it's not mined for that. It's instead mined for the feel-goodness. His relationship with his family is so sweet. I love Queen Latifah as his wife. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a casting choice that you probably wouldn't have expected, and yet paid off so well for the film. The film also is actually very aware and self-aware of basketball and the place it holds in the imagination. It makes a lot of in-jokes about the field, the players. There are even players who play versions of themselves in the film. And Juancho Hernan Gomez himself is, of course, a basketball player as well. So I think that, like, if we're talking about what movies sit great on a streaming platform, I feel like a movie like this, which essentially understands movies and pop culture and entertainment, and then crafts that into something new and interesting, I think this is a great example.
You know what I love the most, though? The runtime. Because it's so short and it's so precise and concise and compact that I could watch this. I watched this on a weekday over dinner after work. And it was that sort of perfect movie, right? Because otherwise, if it was like 2.5 hours long, if they try to drag the drama out, if they try to have like a weird tragedy in the middle of it, I would have seen the thumbnail and gone, I know how this plays out. And I don't think I want to do this on a work day at night, because I just don't have the capacity or the space or the mindset for it. But because of the runtime, it was so perfect that I put it on and I really enjoyed it. And I think it's the kind of thing that you can literally put on at any time and you will enjoy watching it, because the investment is so low. You don't have to put much of yourself into the movie for you to get the most output from the movie itself.
It's hugely rewatchable, right? Like, after the minute it ended, I thought, oh, I could see myself watching this again in a couple of weeks, in a month, in 6 months, you know, just whenever it is that I'm casting about and thinking, I don't know what I want to watch. Something like a Hustle or Hustle itself is always going to be like an option that floats up because of the runtime, because of the enjoyability. And it's weird, right? Because like what you said, Arvin, about how you don't have to put yourself into it implies that you don't then get like that satisfying, you know, oh, okay, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Catharsis at the end, where you feel like, yeah, I just watched something great. But actually, it does. And I think that that maybe is the structure of a sports film as well, kind of playing in here.
Yeah, you used the word sugar rush, I think, earlier, Lynn. And that's exactly it. It's not bad. It's not bad that you're not sort of torn in two by the end of this film. It's more like you know the high that you're going to get because you kind of know what this is. So it's the equivalent of like looking forward to a dessert that you know you enjoy and is comforting. And then once you have it, you're like, yeah, and I can't wait for when I can have this next. And it's nice, right? Like I feel like it's been a while since I watched a film that wanted to entertain, wanted to be heartwarming, and gave us exactly that without being cheap or throwaway.
I mean, and we also talk a lot about, you know, we review films that have a template, right? So it's normally like the superhero films or it's the stuff in the connected universe. And it's nice to see a movie that uses a familiar template, but has not been done in a while properly. So it's a thing that we know, but they have not had a sports movie like this done right in a long time, I think. They've tried a few along the way, but it hasn't hit the way this thing has hit. This feels almost like, you know, when you watch like sports documentaries specifically, and you're at the second last episode or the final episode, this is what it feels like, because it feels real in a way, but also the make-believe characters and the storyline itself helps so much.
And you kind of know where it's going to go, but you want to see it anyway.
You still want to see it anyway.
We're talking today about Hustle, which is out on Netflix. It's directed by Jeremiah Zagar. It stars Adam Sandler and Juancho Hernan Gomez, who is someone that I think we should talk about a little bit more in the second half of the show. Let us know. Have you seen Hustle? Do you plan to? If you've watched it, did you like it? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Do you love this game?
Because if you don't, let's not even bother.
I love this game. I live this game. And there's 1,000 other guys waiting in the wings who are obsessed with this game. Obsession's going to be talent every time. When you walk on that court, you have to think, I am the best guy out there. I don't care if LeBron's playing. So let me ask you again. Do you want to be in the NBA?
Yes!
Never back down.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin, and together we are reviewing Hustle. So we spoke quite a bit about Adam Sandler earlier. Lots of people are saying that this is one of his best performances, and I think it's up there. But, of course, it wouldn't be as good if he didn't have somebody to play off of, because it's really a two-hander, right? And the person on the other end of this is Juancho Hernan Gomez, who is actually a player. I believe he plays for, look at me pretending I know about the NBA, he plays for the Utah Jazz. And he's really good. Like, I mean, I know we've seen basketball players feature in movies, but it feels like basketball players in Adam Sandler films in particular do really well, because KG was excellent in Uncut Gems. And I think that Juancho Hernan Gomez is great.
So I didn't know who he was at all, full confession. And as I started watching the movie and he showed up, I immediately started wondering, like, is this guy a real player? Because he looks like he's a real basketball.
How did you find an actor this tall?
I know. And one who clearly is doing his own quote-unquote stunts and is great at it. But I didn't want to look it up. So I was being like, I'm not going to look it up halfway. I'll only look it up at the end of the film. And then, of course, by the end, you realize that he is, in fact, himself. He's so good. I think it was actually really brilliant to cast someone who isn't an actor, because it brings this like wonderful naturalness to the role. He feels raw. He feels tentative. He feels new. And that, I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to act in anything else, but I really thought this was a wonderful performance.
He feels risky. And I think, like, you need, because you need to believe that Adam Sandler is taking a risk, right? Because his career depends on it, his life depends on it. And he doesn't want to do this. He has to get him into the big leagues to go back to the life that he wants as a coach. And that whole gamble, right? Like, the way, like, Bo Cruz as a character is so, is fragile. In a sense that if he falls apart, then Adam Sandler could fall apart. And I think that's the biggest drama of the movie. And if you don't believe that dynamic, I felt, then the whole thing doesn't work. And I love that he was sort of fickle in a way, and he sort of played it as, I am either not too invested, or I'm not sure what I want to do next, or I'm not able to make up my mind. And that whole push and pull really, really worked for me in the movie, because I kept constantly thinking, like, man, you have to make this work, because if you don't make this work, then Adam Sandler is, like, what is he going to do, right? Like, what is Sugarman going to do?
I think the other thing that's cool about Bo Cruz is that if you look at the role, right, like, what is it? Volatile young basketball player tries to get into the NBA. Now, I think that at its surface, you don't expect that to have a lot of depth, or it doesn't seem to need to. But the character of Bo has a few things going, right? He's got his family relationships, which are quite tight but also quite nuanced in terms of the people that he has in Spain. He's got his temper, he's got the stuff that he's sensitive about, the things that people can say that could bring him down, and I actually think those are rather complex things to actually play. It's not as simple as saying, I'm going to put a basketball player here, and mostly what you'll be doing is basketball things. There's actually quite a lot of heavy lifting to do in terms of the acting, and that naturalism, but also that slightly fish out of water kind of vibe that he brings to the film actually plays in really well to his character arc.
They have great chemistry as well, which I think really helps. There's this lovely scene where the camera kind of pulls away from them and they're both in the car. Bo has just finished a workout. And as the camera pulls away, he leans his head on Adam Sandler's shoulder. Like, you barely see it happen. I actually had to rewind to make sure I did see it. And I thought, well, I wonder if that's real, whether that's something that just naturally happened. But the chemistry between the both of them just feels so real. The other thing I wanted to say was that I love the way basketball players are shot in this film. The camera just sort of really emphasizes not their superhuman qualities, but in a way, the fact that they're not like us, right? Their physicality. And certainly Juancho is one that the camera almost sort of like traces. He's so fish out of water. He's so awkward in every scene he's in, except when he's on the court. And I felt like there was a real awareness of showing us the sport in a particular way. Even for someone like me, who isn't necessarily invested in the sport, there's a real beauty in the way the game, as well as the players, are shot.
Also, you mentioned the realism a few times just now, right? I love how the other players are not shown as chumps in this movie. Like, it's not like you find a Bo Cruz and then a Bo Cruz just like demolishes everyone else in his path. Like, how is that? Like, how then, why is it the big leagues, right? That doesn't, it's not realistic. It doesn't happen. So I love that the stakes are very high, that the odds are stacked against him. And I also love, speaking of realism, that this movie has one of the best uses of social media that I've ever seen in any movie. Because most times, the people who direct it, right, they come off as people who have never used social media. I won't spoil it, but the way social media is used in Hustle is fine. Like, it checks out.
And just to bring it full circle, right, that is exactly one of the things I think that we were all referencing when we said, this film feels really familiar, doesn't do anything new, and yet it just gets it right. And I think that the use of social media is a good example, because there is a moment where a character makes a suggestion to another character and you go, yeah, of course. Of course. Surprised it took you 45 minutes to get here. This could have been suggested a while ago. And so it feels familiar. It's not a surprise. And yet there is actually a pleasure in watching it play out. And I think that that comes back to what we're saying also about the cinematic quality of the film. So if you look at what it's covering, right, it could actually be quite a TV film. if it wanted to be. You know, it's being shown on Netflix. I don't think that it got a cinematic release. And so if it wanted to, it could very well have felt kind of, not Hallmark, but kind of Hallmark, you know, a TV film. But the way that it's shot is really, really cinematic. Like I said earlier, you know, the action sequences are done a certain way. The interactions, even everything that happens within the Sugarman home feels very cinematic. And the way that Philadelphia is shot, the sense of place that the movie tries to imbue, all of that makes it feel very much like a film in a way that Netflix films specifically don't always achieve.
Oh, yes. I think even the training montage, the games, the Sugarman traveling from city to city to city, there's something about it that's definitely filmy and not TV movie-like. Like, nothing about this feels cheap or like they didn't care or they were just doing it because a scene has to be there. Like, it all feels very thought out, very planned, and you know, out of a love for, I think, telling these kinds of stories. I don't know. There's nothing about this that I think I actually didn't like. I don't know if I can even pick something and go, oh, I wish this was done better, because I think every part in this film works so well. I mean, even Kermit, who I like want to punch, played by real life basketball player Anthony Edwards. I was sold on them because they just fit in this film so well.
You know what I would have really liked to see if this was shown in the cinema though, or feel, are the needle drops. Like, this movie has some amazing needle drops. The soundtrack, the song choices, the pick, the whole album is quite amazing. So for that reason alone, I would have loved to see it like on the big screen with big speakers and stuff. I enjoyed watching this at home. It was one of the most perfect streaming movies. But if I could, just the bass in the music of those songs that they picked would have been quite amazing.
Y'all, this is such a pick-me-up. All three of us are wholeheartedly recommending it, which is, I think, a little bit of a surprise to all three of us as well. But we've been talking today about Hustle, which is out on Netflix. Let us know if you've seen it or plan to. What do you think? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.